Ken. Good to see you today, especially those great smiles you've got, that glow on your faces. The spirit of worship is upon us. We're thankful for that. We come to worship God and know He is present and with us. A few announcements today at 2 to 4 in the Fellowship Hall, baby shower for Dylan and Laura Jenkins Moody. Have a boy registered at Amazon and Walmart. And on the 1st at 10 o'clock Bible study, that's Thursday, September the 1st, is Bible study. Do we have any other announcements this morning? If not, stand, take your bulletin, and read together our responsive reading. This is the day the Lord hath made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people.
Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, small and great.
Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him glory.
Father, we do praise and worship and glorify Your name this morning. It is good to know we serve an Almighty God. There's nothing too great or nothing too small where Your presence can come and make something good out of all the things that we face in life. It's good to be here this morning. We're glad You're here, and as we sing and pray, read Your word and preach it, we pray Your presence will be upon us in a profound and mighty way. Move us, and we can be the people You created us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to Him 104. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 5. Oh, worship the King. 104.
Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. And the New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 14, verse 1 and verses 7 through 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked their places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the seat, the least important place. Take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Mm-hmm. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, this is kind of a unique moment in our church year when we look to pray God's blessings on our students as they go back to school, their teachers and their parents, certainly the staff at all the schools. So together, let's offer thanks for these school supplies. There's a lot back here in the library, too, that you folks can get. We thank you for that. And ask God's blessing on all these as we begin another great school year. Sound good? Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Wonderful kids, Lord, are eager to learn, to pray your blessing upon them as they interact with this new school year. We pray for their teachers, anointing upon them and the staff at all of our schools. We pray for their safety, their direction in life, and we just ask that you would surround them with your angels and anoint them that they can excel in all that they do. And we just pray your blessing on them. We're going in Jesus' name. Amen.
If the kids want to come out with me, I have a treat for you guys.
Pictures. I have something from you.
We have something from the church.
take another moment to pray this morning. Do you know of any needs that we need to remember this morning as we pray?
Bruce Matthews, he's having a heart catheterization. He's 25.
Jason Marvin.
Okay.
Bethany Stroud.
Okay. Gina's sister, Karen Hall.
Okay. Any other?
Glenn Davis.
All right. Any other? Let's lift these needs as we pray this morning, certainly remembering to confess our sins and pray for one another that God's will be done in our life. Sins. I thank you for giving us another chance and to express our love and appreciation for all that you've done. As we continue worship this morning, we pray your spirit to pour out upon us and move out through our land to bless those who are in need, bless the leaders of our land, and to bring health and peace in much chaos. We know you have a perfect plan. Pray today that Jesus will be magnified and the kingdom of God expanded. In the precious name we pray. Amen. Stand, turn to hymn 143. Hymn 143, verses 1 through 3. This is my Father's world. Stand as we sing. 143.
we thank you for this time and service. We ask for blessing upon the hand of each giver. We ask for stewardship upon the church as we use these monies to spread your word. We ask that you be with Joe this morning as he brings us your message. Open our ears that we may receive. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to know if I need a good car with a full tank of gas, or if I need an airplane, or a ship, or a good pair of hiking shoes. I also need to know if I need somebody to help me get there, like a good airplane pilot, and a good captain of a ship, a good driver. I like to know these things because if I don't know where I'm going and I don't know how I'm going to get there, guess what? At the end of the day, I'm going to be disappointed. It's no different in the life of a church. We need to know where we're going. We need to know how we're going to get there. If we don't, guess what? At the end of the day, we're going to be mighty disappointed. We've been kicking this thing called vision around for quite some time now, and I hope we're beginning to get clarity. We're in the second message today on about vision. Last time we talked about vision through focus, through direction, and through expansion. Today we want to talk about casting your vision to others. This is very important. If we can't cast our vision, chances are we're not going to be going in the right direction. John Maxwell says something I really like. He says, one is too small a number to achieve greatness. You cannot do it by yourself. Lyndon Johnson also said something along these lines. He says, there are no problems we cannot solve together. Very few we can solve by ourselves. But that really don't stop us from trying, does it? There's just something about being American that makes us want to be just rugged individuals, to overcome every obstacle and defeat every foe on our own terms and our own strength, and preferably without breaking a sweat. As the saying goes, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. And here's the truth. We all need people on our team. Jesus understood this. Jesus, part of his vision was it's going to take a lot of people to get God's kingdom functioning like God wants it to function. We all need people on our team supporting us, assisting us, encouraging us, praying for us, and helping us accomplish what God has called us to do. He wouldn't call us to do something he didn't believe we could do it. Because God is not the author of confusion. Amen? Amen. We got a lot of confusion today, a lot of confused people. But God don't have that problem. Amen? God does not have that problem. He has a plan. He has a direction for us to go. He knows exactly what we need and who we need to get there. Andrew Carnegie said, it marks a big step in your development when you come to realize that other people can help you do a better job than you can do alone. A lot of great truth there. Whenever God has called us to go, whatever God has called us to do, whenever God has called us to be, he's also called us to build a team. A team of people to help us to get there. One of the hardest things we'll have to do when we serve in God's kingdom is get rid of the idea that we can do it all by ourselves. There used to be a song like that. It sounded like they were crying, all by myself. y'all remember that? You strike out here trying to do something great all by yourself, and you're going to be right in there singing with them. You just can't do it. God's task, God's vision, God's goal, God's kingdom is just too great to think that we can do it all by ourselves. Now, you know, we may start out alone. We may start out alone, but we don't have to finish alone. Jesus started out alone. He was a lone man out there walking by himself. The whole world was against him. None of the religious people liked him. And it looked like it just was going to be a complete disaster and end in nothing. But he didn't finish alone. He finished with the greatest kingdom the world has ever heard of. And his great kingdom still exists today in power and in might, are changing the lives of people forever. As we go along the way that God's called us, our lives should be infectious, and we should attract loyal people to help in the work that God has called us to do. One is too small a number to achieve greatness. I've seen this in sports, like in basketball. It would be a guy that they would say, man, this is the greatest basketball player of time. He'd get out there and he'd play the rest of them by himself, and the team would lose. He thought he could do it all by himself. I've seen it in football and in baseball and other sports. Everybody has to work together. Everybody is important if we're going to achieve greatness, if we're going to go in the correct direction God has called us to go. So today we're going to talk about how to cast your vision and how to recruit others in the vision that God has given you. Because if we can't do that, we're not going to have much success, and we're not going to get very far in the work that God's called us to do. You know, that's what Jesus did. That's what he commissioned his disciples to do. He was walking along by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw a couple of fishermen over there named Simon Peter and Andrew, and he said to them, come follow me, and I'm going to show you how to fish for people. The Bible said that they left their nets immediately. You know what immediately means?
Immediately.
It means immediately. They didn't have to have a meeting, and they had to get a committee to study it. They left immediately. They took him at his word. They moved when he called, and they followed him. So let's examine this little bitty verse here, because it's packed with a lot here, and we'll look at it here this morning. So what was Jesus saying? The first thing he was saying, he said, come and follow me. There's a lot of power in those words. Follow me. You will follow someone you got to what? You got to trust them. You don't want to follow someone who's going to lead you off into a cliff, do you? Huh? You don't want to follow someone who's going to give you a bunch of empty promises, do you? Huh? Now, come on, tell the truth, people. I know there's more than three people. You don't want to do that. You got to trust someone or you're not going to follow. So Jesus said, trust me. That's what he was saying. You trust me. You believe in me. You have faith in me. I'm inviting you to follow me, not to obey a long list of rules, but to live with me, to be with me, to walk with me, to work with me, to eat with me, to pray with me, to go where I go, to do what I do, to love the people that I love, to help those who are hurting, to reach out and serve in the community. Follow me. In other words, Jesus showed us it's better to lead people into greatness than it is to just send them. That's why he said, follow me. Trust me. Follow me also means that I'm going to be there with you. Isn't that good to know? You ever had somebody ask you to do something for you? You know, we're going to work together to get this thing. They abandon you? Huh? And you get stuck with it? Anybody? Two people? Okay. All right. Well, it might happen to you if you're not careful out there today. That's what the Apostle Paul did several times in his letters to the churches he wrote to. He said, imitate me. Do what I do. Teach what I teach. Follow my example. Believe in who I believe in. Trust Jesus like I do. His exact words in 1 Corinthians 4:16, he said, so I urge you to imitate me. Paul understood the only way to lead is by example. Albert Schweitzer said something along these lines I thought was pretty good. I can't never come up with anything that's good. He said, Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. Did you get that? Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. Here's a principle that everyone needs to understand. People buy into the person who's leading before they buy into their vision. As workers and leaders and followers of Jesus Christ, we must have sufficient integrity to say, follow me, follow my example, join me and do what I do in the work of God's great kingdom. Because when God gives you a vision for the future, people need to know that you're the real deal. People need to know that you know what you're talking about. People need to know that what you're asking them to do and where you're asking them to go, you've been there and it works. Amen? And it's for real. And because it's worked for you, it can work for them. People need to know you're committed to be who you need to be and doing what you need to do. That's because people need to buy into you before they can buy into your vision. That's why it's hard to take help advice from someone that's overweight, or financial advice from someone that's broke, or relationship advice from someone who can't stay married, or parenting advice from those whose kids are totally out of control. They don't have credibility to give advice beyond, don't do it like I do. Clearly, that's not someone anyone wants to follow. People need a reason to believe what you're casting before them. They need to see it at work in your life. They need to see that you're an example that they can follow. Jesus understood this. And as he cast his vision upon his disciples, he said, follow me. The second thing he said was, I will show you how to. I will show you how to. Let's start by that. I will show you how to. I will show you how to. You know what show means?
Yes, show.
Show. Yeah. Show how. I will show you how to. Think about that. A man wanted to buy a banjo one time while he was in Brazil. He spoke English, not Brazilian. He went to a few places, but nobody knew English. Nobody knew anything about a banjo. No one was able to help him very much. He stumbled upon a store, and he happened to find a salesman who spoke English. He told the man what he was interested in, a banjo, and the man said, I'll be right back. He came back with a banjo, and not only bring the banjo, he tuned it for him. And he showed him how to make four chords, G, C, D, and E minor. If you know them four, you can play about anything. And he played it for him there. And he showed him how to play it. And then he handed him the banjo. And in a short amount of time, this man who was looking for a banjo was now a banjo player. He was shown how. As we cast our vision and recruit people to the work that God has called us to do together, we must do so by showing them how to take the next step. You ever remember Bob Ross on PBS? Anybody? Bob Ross. He was the what? He was the painter, weren't he? His show was what? The Joy of Painting. Bob Ross. Every time I flipped through, he was on there. You know, he's the guy that would say things like, well, let us put a happy little tree next to this happy-go-lucky little stream. You know, he just paint. He was the happiest thing up there. I mean, boy, he was something. But you know why he was so successful? It's not because he painted things that really were unique or his paintings bought a great amount of money, no. He had his rare talent. He had his rare ability to show people just how easy it is Now, if you were intimidated to paint when he got through with you, man, it was just so natural, just so easy. Man, he had that gift. And thousands of people found pleasure making painting their hobby. All because Bob Ross was able to say, I will show you how to. Alexander the Great was one of the greatest leaders of all time. Before age 30, he had conquered most of the known world. Wow. Yet even at the height of his power, when his army was at war, he would stand in front of his men and he would draw his sword. And he would be the first one on the battlefield. It is said that at the sight of Alexander charging forward to the battlefield, it so motivated his soldiers that no force on earth could stop it. People with vision lead by demonstrating, by modeling, by helping people with the next step, showing people exactly what is expected of them. Jesus modeled the life he called us followers to live. He demonstrated for us through his actions, through his teaching, through his tremendous great love for people, especially the sinful ones. And he loved us in such a way that he let us know what we're supposed to do, step by step, day by day. And he said to Peter, follow me, and I will show you how to. Another version says, translated, I will make you become. I will make you become. He's actually saying, I will take responsibility myself for helping you become the person that you can be. The key word here is training or discipling. That's why they were called disciples who followed Jesus. Great leaders, great churches train their people. And that's why leaders also need expertise. If you're leading financial area, you need to know financial stuff. If you lead an area of youth, you need to understand youth. You need to understand youth ministry. Wherever you lead, you need to know your subject. That means where God calls you to go, where God calls you to lead, he's calling you to learn. That's real popular, isn't it? You know, truthfully, most people don't want to learn. They love to stay where they're at. Or think about the past. You know? To be successful, to be going in the direction we need to go, we have to learn. We have to learn every day. Because the more we know, the more we can help others. The more we can help others by passing on to others. The more you know, the more effectively you can train your group or your team. And in casting your vision, you must be able to say, I will show you how. This is the direction we're going. This is how we're going to get there. And we're going to do it together. Now, the third phrase Jesus used, he said, follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. So what was important to Jesus?
People.
People, not fish. People. Okay? People. I mean, there's a lot of things he could have said right there. He could have said, you know, the temple I told you is going to be destroyed here not too long. We need to get a team ready so when we destroy it, we can build it back even greater. No, we're not interested in that. There's a lot of things he could have said there that day. But the most important thing on his mind when he cast his vision on these men was people. He spoke these words to capture their imagination. It's like he was saying, all right, now you fish for fish. You know, you get a bass, a catfish, whatever. You know, you're pretty good at that. You know, it's a job. It's good pay. I mean, really, you provide a valuable service to your community. I mean, and to the local economy. We need to go to economy. But guess what? You can do something even more greater than what you're doing today. You can catch more than just fish. You can catch men, you can catch women, you can catch children. and you can lead them into a life-changing relationship with God who loves them, you can do this. You can make a difference in people's lives. And as their lives are changed, your community's going to change. Your world is going to change. For good. Forever. I love this story, 1983. Steve Jobs, y'all know who he was? Apple man, right? He recruited John Sculley to be president of Apple Computers. Anybody know who John Sculley was? He was the president of Pepsi. So Jobs, he called Sculley, he said, I want you to come and be the president of Apple Computers. And Sculley said, well, he weren't quite sure he wanted to leave. You know, he was head of Pepsi, and he didn't really know where he would leave Pepsi or not. And Jobs asked him this question. He says, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want to change the world? The rest is history. He went to work for Apple. We know what Apple, the vision they had, has changed the world as far as communication. What was Jobs doing? He was simply capturing Scully's imagination. He knew if he could get him to see what his great potential could be with Apple Computers, the rest would be history. He was casting vision. And he was giving him a fullness of his potential. That's what Jesus did when he issued the call to Peter and Andrew. Jesus gave them a glimpse of their potential greatness. Jesus is saying, in effect, follow me and let me help you reach your full potential. You're doing pretty good right now, but you know where you can be. You know where I created you to be. Come and follow me and let me help you reach your potential. It's all about giving people a genuine opportunity to partner with you in your quest for greatness. When Jesus said, follow me and I'll show you how to fish for people, he wasn't just working the room. He was genuinely offering Peter and Andrew a chance to do something great. Not just great for themselves, but great for their communities. Something great for the rest of the world. When you recruit people, when you cast your vision, you don't have to play them. You don't have to trick them. You don't have to ask them a list of questions to try to get them to answer yes, as if you're trying to unload a set of used encyclopedias on them or something like that. If your vision is from God, it's worthwhile. It's for real. It's the direction you need to be going. You need to be committed to walk and to talk and to know your stuff. And then your vision is even more a worthwhile project. People with vision understand this. They understand that when they invite people to work in their tasks, they're not trying to take advantage of them. They're just trying to help them reach their full potential. It's kind of like, I'm not asking you to teach a kid's class. I'm asking you to change the future of some of your students. I'm not asking you to donate a few dollars to missions. I'm asking you to make your mark on the next generation of Christians. I'm not just asking you to serve on this committee at the church. I'm asking you to help shape the future direction of the church and its ministry. We must cast our vision and lead one another and work together to bring people together to meet the work that God has called us to do. It's an easy appeal to make when the vision we have is from God. It's an easy thing to do when we know that God is for us, because when God is for us, nothing can stand against us. And in conclusion, think about Jesus and his community. Most of the people in this community were poor and needy, and a lot of them sickly, didn't have modern medicine like we got. Didn't have social services to feed them and clothe them and all that sort of thing. There was a lot of needy people. And a lot of those people where Jesus traveled out in the community were considered lost and beyond hope of most of the religious people today. They didn't want anything to do with it. They said, them people don't like us. A lot of racism and hatred and contempt for one another. I mean, it's pretty bad. But it was these people that Jesus appealed to. It was this people that Jesus chose to cast his vision for the church. Isn't that amazing? About all the people he could have chose, why did he choose this? Because Jesus understood the great potential in their lives. He made them. He created them. And he knew what they could do. And he was willing to show them how they could use their life to change the lives of others for a lifetime. Jesus cast his vision on them. They cast their vision on others. And the church was born into greatness and scattered and covered the known world. I believe God will place a vision on your heart and a dream of what you can accomplish in this life for his glory. Church, I believe God's calling us to greatness, which means he's calling us to share that vision he gives us with others. There are plenty who need it. Most of the people in our communities across our land are not involved in any kind of church life or Bible study or anything. They don't need to be shown how. But it's all possible. And let's remember, it's been said, if you're a leader, no one's following, you're not really leading, you're just taking a walk alone. You might start alone, but you don't want to finish alone, amen? Because one is too small a number to achieve greatness. And in order to extend the future of the church, we must share our vision with others. We must lead by example, must lead by demonstration, and lead by inspiration. I challenge you this week to look around at the people that God has placed in your life throughout your community, place of work. Recognize their potential. Plan a strategy to get them plugged into doing God's work that will change their life forever. Show them what the greatness of God's kingdom is all about. And in doing so, you will change the world for good where God has placed you. Maybe you already are and you're just getting started in this process. Maybe sometimes you feel like you're walking alone. Well, look up. Cast your vision, God will bless it. You don't have to finish alone. Just keep casting his vision. Jesus said, follow me and I'll show you how to fish for people. Isn't it great that Jesus loves people? Huh? Because yeah. There's plenty of them, isn't there? Plenty of people to love like Jesus loves. Our challenge is to respond to his call by casting our vision to the world around us. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that Jesus believes in us. And he's called us not only to follow him, to be part of his great kingdom, but to help build it. Anoint us with your spirit and move us in the direction that we must go in order to achieve the great mission of the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand as we sing hymn 389. Verses 1 and 2. 1 and 3, excuse me. 1 and 3, the marked verses. 389. Spirit of the Living God.
Thank you.
for coming, bringing the spirit of worship, continue to pray for one another and what God has called us to do. Father, your blessings be upon us all, my brothers and sisters. I pray you bless us, give us strength, hope, and health. And as we go into the world, help us to cast the great vision that you've given to each of us. Love people as you love them. Seek to lead them to the great kingdom. Again, we thank you for our school kids and our community, the staff, the teachers. On this chaotic world we live in, we pray for your spirit of protection upon them. And we pray you would guard them, a host of angels. It'll be safe, but this year they can learn to be the people that you created them to be.